Along the Mississippi River, southwest of Eau Claire, Lake Pepin is home to a diverse ecosystem, and it has a long history of recreation and transportation for its surrounding communities in Wisconsin and Minnesota. Plus, it's known as the birthplace of water skiing.
But the lake is under threat by a growing accumulation of sediment that comes from upstream and then settles in the lake.
That's lowering the water level in some areas, leading to boat groundings and ecological degradation, and threatening the future of Lake Pepin.
A local nonprofit group is working to reduce that sediment load and promote restoration efforts for the shrinking body of water. Michael Anderson is executive director of the Lake Pepin Legacy Alliance. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me here.
So for people who are not familiar with the area, can you tell us a little bit about the geography of Lake Pepin? It's a lake. It's also part of the Mississippi River.
We are a little bit of both here. Lake Pepin is sandwiched in between the bluffs on the Wisconsin side and the Minnesota side. We are a riverine lake, so we are part of the Mississippi River, but we're also a lake. We're the largest natural forming lake on the entire Mississippi River. We're all 22 miles long of us. We're a big lake that encompasses a lot of communities on both sides of the river.
Before we get into some of the problems you're trying to tackle there, I want to hear a little bit about the history of the Lake Pepin Legacy Alliance. How did people in that area come together to tackle some of the concerns we're going to talk about?
So the origins of the alliance go back to about 2009, 2010, when really citizens, the public that lives around the lake, started to really see the infilling at the head of the lake, or the most upstream portion of the lake. So they were seeing islands form where there never was an island, or sandbars continue to grow, favorite fishing spots become devoid of fish, boat groundings, things like that. So that's what triggered the, okay, what is going on here? What do we need to look at? How is this? Is this a normal thing, or is this a problem? And what can we do about it if it is?
What is causing that to happen? I think the key word here we need to talk about is sediment. Why are we seeing this sediment forming to start at the northern reaches of the lake?
That is the key thing here, sediments. We get tons of sediment coming into Lake Pepin from the Mississippi River upstream of us, and in particular from the Minnesota River. Somewhere about 80% or so of the sediment that comes to Lake Pepin originates from the Minnesota River. And all of that washes down. Once it gets to the lake where it gets wider, the sediment spreads and settles out and slows down, drops out at the head of the lake. So that sediment that we're seeing is coming from agricultural spaces. It's coming from, to a lesser degree, but from urban runoff and a lot of what is termed near channel sources. So those areas that are close to the channel of a stream or a river that are eroding. And we get a lot of our sediment has been fingerprinted back to those locations.
Right. People might think, oh, well, a river's going to have sediment, of course. It's a natural process. But there's more going on here. A lot of this, the bulk of this change sounds like it's human caused. Do I have that right?
Yes, you do. Absolutely. It's worth saying that Lake Pepin used to start before people lived here, before this area was settled, started further upstream. And it has gradually filled in over the millennia. And if left untouched, we're looking at maybe 4,000 years or so, 3,500 years, where it would just naturally accumulate sedimentation. Now that we have introduced modern agriculture to the landscape, we've really ratcheted that up, and the sedimentation is filling in the lake 10 times faster than it ever would have. So we're looking at a lifespan of Lake Pepin of somewhere in the 350-year range, if everything holds stable to what we're doing right now.
But it sounds like you're already feeling the impact. What are some of the uses of the lake? You were starting to touch on this already. What are some of the things that people like to do on the lake for fun or economic reasons or whatever that, hey, this sediment is already interfering with?
Yeah, fishing and waterfowl hunting and boating are some huge recreation uses of the lake. There are significant boat groundings that happen where people aren't aware of a specific area. We get a lot of people who visit the lake, and when they're boating around in what seems like it should be deep areas, is just maybe 2 or 3 feet deep, and all of a sudden your boat is stuck on a sandbar or one of the muddier areas in the river or of the lake because of that sedimentation. So that's some of like the real drastic effects that you feel if you're here on the lake. If you fish or if you waterfowl hunt, places that you may have gone 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or even, dated back to generations before you where they were hunting or fishing, some of those places just you can't get there anymore. They're either too shallow, or in some cases they're just land, and there's no going there to fish or to hunt like people used to.
Now that's human uses. What kind of ecological concerns are there with this sediment buildup?
Having this much sediment, we're really reducing the capacity for fish and waterfowl in areas where this sediment is accumulating. Once you start to get that buildup of fine sediment, it will then you can get it to resuspend into the water column. So it makes a really cloudy, muddy water column. So you can't really see in it. Plants, aquatic vegetation then won't grow. And once you start to lose your aquatic vegetation, you can lose the fish that require that for habitat and for food, and you're therefore going to lose waterfowl for similar reasons. So the ducks, the fish really, really feel the pinch of sedimentation here at the head of the lake.
We are talking about Lake Pepin on the Mississippi River on the Minnesota-Wisconsin border, and problems for human use, for ecological causes as well from sediment. Michael Anderson is with us with the Lake Pepin Legacy Alliance. Okay, let's start with your efforts to cut down on the amount of sediment coming in the first place. What did those efforts look like? What would it take to stop new sediment from coming in?
That is a phenomenal question, and there are organizations aplenty and agencies aplenty that are trying to solve sedimentation entering the Minnesota River, the Mississippi River, and Lake Pepin. Things that we can do to reduce the sediment are activities that slow the flow of water. And what I mean by that is we want to keep water on the land longer. So, if we can create different types of storage features of water, and some of those are as simple and as tried and true as restoring wetlands, that holds water on the landscape. And if we're holding water on the landscape, not only are we capturing whatever sediment may have been in that, but we now have less erosive potential in the river itself. Other than wetlands, there are some other features that other erosion control measures that can be implemented in farm fields and agricultural spaces that will slow water, will keep it on the land longer, and in ways that don't harm crops either.
I usually hear things like cover crops or border plantings, things like that. Is that the sort of thing we're talking about that farmers could do?
That is absolutely one of the things farmer can do are some of the growing practices. So cover crops is a great one. They not only hold the soil in place, they will hold nutrients in place and they'll hold water on the land. So in that same vein, when we look at perennial crops, things that stay in the year more than just for the growing season. So whether that's hay ground or crops like kernza is a crop that's similar to wheat and growing in traction and popularity, and a lot of effort is behind that between from both sides of the border here. Minnesota and Wisconsin are putting a lot of effort into figuring out how farmers can grow kernza better. It has such huge potential for our water. So yeah, that's some of the farmer growing, the things farmers can grow. Farmers also can do things that fall under the umbrella of reduced tillage. So that would mean no-till agriculture, strip-till agriculture, things that don't disturb the soil column and we don't break it up as much. When we have a more intact soil structure, that can hold more water and more nutrients on the land. So those are two common things that farmers do and that we advocate for. And some of the other things that people, landowners can do and farmers can do, or they can build structures on their land that will, like I said earlier, hold the water, like if some sort of physical structure. Some of them, they don't always have amazing names, but a water and sediment control basin is one of them, where they're often on a field edge or in really erosive areas of fields. They capture water, they let it slowly release, and at the same time that captures the sediment. So these are some of the strong techniques that we know work and we are pushing for, advocating for, as well as a host of other agencies too.
All right, that's the sediment coming in, the sediment that's already there. What can you do about that?
The sediment that's already in the lake?
Yeah.
One great example of what you can do is a ongoing, nearly completed project in Bay City on Lake Pepin. It's colloquially called the Bay City Restoration Project, but its official name is the Upper Pool 4 Habitat Restoration Project, located within the Pierce County Islands complex here on the Mississippi River. That project is building islands and it's digging out, dredging out overwintering pools, they're called. So areas where fish can congregate in the winter as well as year round, that is using that fine sediment. So that sediment that may have come from a farm field up the Minnesota River Valley, it's getting dredged out. It's getting placed on top of these islands that were created. And that is then going to be used as the growing structure, the growing medium for plants, for trees, for everything that's there. So that's one of the things we can do with that excess sediment that we have here at the head of the lake. We can use it in these restoration projects.
That sounds kind of labor intensive and maybe expensive. Who's covering the costs? Who's making this happen?
You're right on both points, labor intensive and expensive. So this project here near Bay City, we are in the low $20 million project, and it is mostly federally funded with a large part coming also from the state of Wisconsin. So the state of Wisconsin put in over $3 million to get this project going, as well as the state of Minnesota, through one of their granting programs, put in $750,000, and that as well as some local partners and cities that put in money in, like Bay City and Stockholm and Red Wing. They all realized the value that this project would have. Everyone pulled their money, and that then triggered the federal government to release more money to be able to do this project. So these are projects that happen up and down the river. There has been some successful projects near La Crosse, Wisconsin as well, in Pool 7 and 8, that are building islands, planting on those islands. That reduces not only the you're dredging out sediment that's in the water, but you are creating habitat when you dig out those pools, habitat for fish, habitat for waterfall, and for more plants to grow and kind of create a positive feedback loop where we're kickstarting the natural processes again.
And Michael, on a personal note, you obviously are committed to Lake Pepin, and I understand you've lived on the Minnesota and Wisconsin sides of it over the years. What is it that's special to you about Lake Pepin?
Well, for me, it feels part of me. I've lived on both sides of the lake. I farmed on both sides of the lake. I was married on top of Maiden Rock Bluff in the dead cold of winter, looking out over the frozen lake. The lake is part of me. And for those that live around it know exactly what that means. Not seeing the lake in a day can be hard. I remember a good friend of mine who lives over in Stockholm. They used to farm kind of right down near the water, and they could see the lake every day. They then moved their farm to the top of the bluff, and I remember her telling me how much she missed just seeing the lake on a daily basis, that she got to a point where she climbed one of the trees on her property so she could see the lake from where they were on top of the bluff. Like, it just becomes a part of you, if that makes sense.
It does. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Michael Anderson is executive director of the Lake Pepin Legacy Alliance. He was with us today to share his organization's efforts to reduce sediment buildup that threatens transportation, recreation, and the ecosystem on Lake Pepin along the Mississippi River.